This coming Tuesday, Wisconsin voters will cast their ballots in the highly publicized recall election of Governor Scott Walker. Meanwhile, Indiana, West Virginia, and North Carolina voters will head to the polls for their state's primary elections. In the Tar Heel State, the voters who do turn out will hold the future of many North Carolina families in their hands. They'll be voting on Amendment 1, a mean-spirited, broadly restrictive measure that is redundant in banning same-gender marriage in that state since it's already illegal in that state. And I'm very pleased to welcome the Right Reverend Michael Curry, who is the Episcopal Bishop in North Carolina. Bishop Curry, welcome.
Well, thank you.
The debate over gay marriage has been awash in religious rhetoric from conservative voices. How do you answer those religious voices?
Well, I have to say that, in fact, here in North Carolina, the issue is not gay marriage. The issue really is a potential amendment to our state constitution that, in fact, will hurt and harm numerous people, including children.
What is it, Bishop, in your own personal faith tradition and the values in your ministry that moved you to become involved in such a very controversial piece of legislation?
You know, the truth is, it was the fact that when I realized how profoundly and significantly people were going to be hurt by this amendment, it became very clear to me that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, our task is to bring healing, health, and goodness into the world, not to bring harm and hurt. And this amendment is going to bring harm and hurt to just many, many people. And I can give you a few examples.
I wish you would.
For example, this amendment has the potential, although it's up to debate, but it has the potential to make people who are in relationships without the benefit of marriage, for whatever reason, possibly no longer protected under domestic violence protections that are currently afforded here in the state of North Carolina. There's some debate about that in the legal community, but from what I can tell, the overwhelming response of law professors here at the law schools in the state of North Carolina is that this amendment could jeopardize protection that unmarried people currently have in domestic violence situations. You know, I was a parish pastor for almost 25 years before I became bishop. And in that time, I spent a great deal of time helping to extricate, it's always women and their children from abusive situations. And the protection that law enforcement can give to prevent stalking is critical to these women having a sense of safety and well-being and for their children. That's why I say this amendment puts in danger women usually and their children. As a Christian, I cannot stand by idly while anybody is being hurt by a law in this land. The Constitution of any state, as with the federal Constitution, does not exist to take away rights. Mm-hmm. It exists to protect them.
Well, Bishop, you've done an excellent job in describing the breadth of the legislation and the potential impact of the legislation in a way that goes beyond my understanding of it. What I'm wondering is there are many people who are positioning this as just a referendum on same-gender marriage.
Right.
So is it possible that all of the implications that you've just mentioned may become such subsidiaries to people's focus on same-gender marriage that it is defeated for that reason?
Well, yeah, it's. I think it is my hope that if the broad spectrum of people, regardless of what they stand happens to be on marriage equality or mm-hmm. same-gender marriage, mm-hmm. but if a broad spectrum of people begin to understand that this amendment could actually do harm, regardless of whatever good some may think it's intended to do, mm-hmm. that many people could vote against it who are also against gay marriage. I mean, people can right. be pro and con on that question. I would think that we as Christians, and I would pray that we as Christians who follow a master who told us, I mean, Pastor, you know the parable of the Last Judgment as well as I do. And Jesus was very clear in that parable that, you know, the nations are arrayed before the king on Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. And he really doesn't ask them what their denomination is. He doesn't even ask them what their religion is. What the master asks is, when did you feed me? Did you feed me when I was hungry? Clothe me when I was naked? Visited me when I was alone? Did you care for me as a fellow human child of God? And Jesus says in that parable, as you did it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. I would suggest that for Christian people in particular, that command to do unto the least of these in this particular context needs to be lived out by making sure that the law protects the least of these mm-hmm. and does not harm. And it is my conviction that Amendment 1 will harm the least of these. And I say that as a follower of Jesus.
Bishop, have you had to, you've got a very impressive coalition of pastors working on this alongside you. Have you all had to rehearse going through all of the traditional difficult texts related to same-gender marriage and these kinds of votes, or has it been a matter of talking about the issue at large without having to argue scripture?
Yeah, in this case, in this particular situation, we've focused on the issue at hand of the harm that this amendment will do, because there are, in the coalition, there are Christians of diverse perspective. There are some Christian pastors who would very much be adamantly opposed to marriage equality and gay marriage, but who understand that this amendment will do harm. And so we've really stayed focused on the impact of this amendment on people's lives. And that, it seems to me, is common ground for certainly for us as Christians, and I believe for people of faith and people of goodwill generally.
There are so many people that have heard the words of the Baptist minister from Fayetteville, Sean Harris. I'm sure you've heard those words yourself. We're going to play just a little of the sermon that he preached and what he said for our listeners right now.
Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you rock over there and crack that wrist. Man up. Give him a good punch. Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male.
Now, since that clip went viral, Harris has apologized to those that he, quote, unintentionally offended. My question to you is, how many voices like his are there in North Carolina? In the same sermon, he urged his congregation to vote on May 8th, and it's pretty clear how he wants them to vote. Is that common or is that uncommon?
Reverend, I really don't know the full answer to that. I haven't done a poll. My guess is the level of that language and the volume of it probably is more, I would hope, uncommon than common.
Yeah.
It may be that the sentiment in opposition to gay marriage may be more common, but I would hope that the spirit of that sentiment is not as common. I've got to tell you, it's hard for me. And I don't make any judgment on anybody else except myself. But it's hard for me as a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, who himself, frankly, was executed on the cross because of his radical inclusion, not exclusion, because of his radical love, not hate. That's what got Jesus killed. Yeah. And we follow him. So I don't know how you follow a Lord like that. We have a hymn in the Episcopal tradition, the King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Yeah. Well, how can you follow the King of Love and spew hatred?
How much impact will come from Billy Graham's alleged announcement that he is in favor of the amendment?
I mean, Billy Graham is a much respected and revered person here and a great man in his own right. I would still contend that that if we are passing an amendment to a constitution that's going to hurt or harm one child of God, that is one too many, and that amendment doesn't need to be in the constitution. This amendment that we're talking about will strip away, certainly for all public employees who are presently unmarried but allowed to have health insurance and pension benefits because of domestic partnerships and that kind of thing. Public employees in 8 jurisdictions in the state of North Carolina will lose those benefits because of this amendment. And people on both sides of the debate agree that that happens to be the case. We cannot, as Christian people who follow Jesus, who said the two commandments that are the greatest are to love God and to love your neighbor, how can we support something that doesn't love our neighbor?
Bishop Curry, as I said, we appreciate you being on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Reverend. It's been an honor.